So I'm reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 23, and that can be found on page 706 in the Pew Bibles. Page 706, Isaiah chapter 23. An oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed and left without house or harbour. From the land of Cyprus, word has come to them. Be silent, you people of the island, and you merchants of Sidon, whom the seafarers have enriched. On the great waters came the grain of the Shihor. The harvest of the Nile was the revenue of Tyre, and she became the marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, and you, O fortress of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared sons nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old, old city, whose feet have taken her to settle in far-off lands? Who planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are renowned in the earth? The Lord Almighty planned it, to bring low the pride of all glory, and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Till your land as along the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish, for you no longer have a harbour. The Lord has stretched out his hand over the sea and made its kingdoms tremble. He has given an order concerning Phoenicia, that her fortresses be destroyed. He said, no more of your reveling, O virgin daughter of Sidon, now crushed. Up, cross to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. Look at the land of the Babylonians, this people that is now of no account. The Assyrians have made it a place for desert creatures. They raised up their siege towers. They stripped its fortresses bare and turned it into a ruin. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, your fortress is destroyed. At that time, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the span of a king's life. But at the end of these 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take up a harp. Walk through the city, O prostitute forgotten. Play the harp well. Sing many a song, so that you will be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire as a prostitute and will ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. Yet her profit and her earning will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes.
Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves, yes. All you patriotic, fervent last night of the prom singers, or any other patriotic event. When we sing that song, we're recalling the great days of Britain ruling the waves, which we did from the 18th to the early 20th century. We dominated the seas of the world. The Royal Navy was unbeatable, its reach was vast, fighting battles with heroes such as Nelson, protecting our trade routes from all over the world in the days of empire, when the ports of Liverpool and Bristol and London teemed with ships from all over the world. We were the centre of world trade in the 19th century and grew immensely wealthy on the back of it. Well, why talk about that? Well, hold that picture in your mind as we travel back to a similar centre, much further than the 19th century, to the 8th century BC, to the port city of Tyre. If you have a look at a map on the handout, that's going to be quite important in this, as we look at chapter 23 of Isaiah. You see where Tyre is. It's on the eastern Mediterranean coast. It's situated in what we know today as Lebanon. Then it was the state of Phoenicia, as you can see. The Phoenicians were known throughout the Mediterranean for their trading prowess. Here, if you like, was the world trade center of the time. And alongside this, have Isaiah 23 and see what we learn of Tyre. Verse 3, she became the marketplace of the nations. So we read that the Egyptians, that breadbasket of the Mediterranean, if you like, from all their wheat production, they traded with Tyre. The Phoenicians would ship and buy and sell on. Verse 2, the merchants of Sidon, you see Sidon is slightly further up at the coast. That was once far greater than Tyre, but by the time of 720, 700 BC, thereabouts, it had been eclipsed by Tyre. And Tyre's wealth was such that she had established trading ports throughout the Mediterranean. Just as we developed a network of ports all over the world, you think of somewhere like Hong Kong, a great trading centre that we established. And verse 8, Tyre became the bestower of crowns. In other words, making merchants out of her princes, or other way around, her merchants became her princes, sorry. And at the end of that sentence in verse 8, it really sums up Tyre and all it stood for, whose traders were renowned in the earth. So Tyre stood high, that's really what we're learning, successful, dominant, famous, and extremely wealthy with it. Think about their neighbours, Israel, which you can see there in the shaded colour, and Judah to the south, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Phoenicia must have looked impressive. They must have thought, let's strengthen our ties with them, let's make alliances with them so that we, in a sense, may, well, some of their wealth might rub off on us. And into this context, Isaiah speaks to Israel, meaning at this point the whole of Israel, Israel and Judah. These series of oracles or prophecies concerning the nations that surrounded them. So far, we've looked at two of these oracles, Babylon in chapter 13, and 2 weeks ago, we looked at Egypt in chapter 19. And if you missed those sermons, can I encourage you to go online and listen? Because there's further background about the world of that time that I'm not going to cover again today. Just as we found in those previous oracles, this is about the judgment of God. And this time it is on Tyre. It's a warning as to what God will do with those who don't acknowledge him as the one true living God. Each oracle has a different emphasis dependent upon the particular circumstances of each nation. For Tyre, the issue was wealth. Not so much the making of wealth, but what they did with that wealth, what that wealth did to them. Look at verse 18, which we're going to come to a bit later on, but this gives us a flavour. It tells us what they did. They stored up and hoarded their wealth. On the day we're talking about the appeal for the church hall extension, this is what we'll find spot on for us. For whilst we look at this ancient context, we'll find, if we've got ears to hear, a word to our context with what we do with our wealth, what it does to us, how we view it. There's a warning about wealth, there's a promise about wealth, and in the midst of that, we'll see the purposes of the Lord. So let's dive in and have a look. Verses 1 to 7, there's a warning about wealth, a warning about wealth to start with. In these verses, we get a warning that Tyre is going to be destroyed and a description of what happens when it is destroyed. Verse 1, it will be left without house or harbour, and the ripple effect is going to be felt all over the Mediterranean. The ships of Tarshish, verse 1, no more will they trade with Tyre. Tarshish was at the other end of the Mediterranean, on the western edge in Spain, or what we know as Spain today. And this was a port that the Phoenicians would have traded with, whose ships they used, but no more. News we read had already reached their closest island, Cyprus, just up in the top left-hand corner of your map there. From the land of Cyprus, we read in verse 1, word had come to them. That word had already reached Cyprus. So they're saying there's no point in going to Tyre anymore because there's nothing there. It's been destroyed. And then verse 3, Egypt. The grain of the Nile Delta, that's where Shihor was. Disastrous for them because they depended on Tyre as the place where they would sell their grain. So we read in verse 5, when word, that is the word of Tyre's destruction, comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report from Tyre. So this judgment on Tyre is a cause for distress and lament, really over all the sort of world of the Mediterranean, the known world. Those repeated references to wail, O ships, wail, you people. This city, verse 7 of old, and it was ancient. I was reading last week that it certainly dates back to 2300 BC. It was a really well-established old city. This city, as it says in verse 7, of revelry. The city from where people had gone out to far-off lands. No more destroyed. Well, what a word to Israel. Tempted maybe by what Tyre had to offer. To suck up to them, to compromise, to trust them at the expense of trusting in the Lord. Don't, says this oracle, don't trust in that sort of wealth. Riches are so uncertain. They looked secure. They looked powerful and impregnable. They looked attractive. Just as the City of London did in 2007. Funds flooded in from all over the world. Renowned as the city was for its financial trading. Yet we know it crashed in 2008. Thousands lost their jobs. Millions were wiped off the markets and people's lives were changed. Riches are uncertain. It was vital for Israel to hear that and not be tempted by what they saw in Tyre. And it is vital for us to hear this now. The Apostle Paul, writing in the New Testament to Timothy, his co-worker, says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's so tempting, isn't it, to put our hope in wealth? How easily we get sucked in. Well, hear the warning about wealth. Riches are uncertain. Do not imagine you are secure, banking on your pension pot or your savings or the value of your house. Do not imagine that what happened to Tyre could not happen to you if you put your hope in wealth, that you or I would be destroyed if we do that. It was a warning to Israel, and it's meant to be a warning to us. And it is stark and it is sharp. Because we so easily get taken in by the power of wealth. That desire for success financially and for security. We're so easily persuaded to compromise our faith in Jesus Christ and the promises of God because of the promises of man and what is offered in many, many financial schemes. And now maybe you're thinking, hang on a minute, I haven't come to this gathering this morning. I don't like this warning. It's unsettling, it's scary, because I'm hoping my riches are certain. We are, excuse the pun, banking on them being certain. We don't want to hear this word of judgment because we can't bear to think of the consequences if our riches are uncertain. Well, rather than look to our riches, God directs us to look to him. As he says in 1 Timothy, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Warnings are given for our benefit. How gracious, how kind of the Lord to warn us of the uncertainty of riches so that we might not put our hope in them. We'll come back to Isaiah in verses 8 to 14. Let's look then at the purposes of the Lord, the purposes of the Lord. Verse 8 is such a natural question, isn't it? So this destruction, this judgment has come on Tyre. And the natural question is, who planned this against Tyre? Who planned this against Tyre? And here comes the reply to the Phoenicians, to Tyre and Sidon, those who were the marketplace of the nation, in control of trade, or so they thought. Verse 9, the Lord Almighty planned it to bring low the pride of all glory and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Here's the reason and the cause for Tyre's destruction. The reason the Lord planned it. He is the Lord. He is the one who rules over not just Tyre and Sidon and Phoenicia, but all the nations of the world. That's the reason, the cause for his judgment. Well, you can see it there in verse 9. To bring low the pride of all glory, to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Now, if you've got good memory, you may be thinking, I've heard this language of planning, the Lord's planning before. Have a look to what we were looking at a couple of weeks ago. Turn back a couple of pages to Exodus 19 and verse 12. This is the prophecy, the oracle against or concerning Egypt. And says this in verse 12 of the wise men of Egypt. Where are your wise men now? Let them show you and make known what the Lord Almighty has planned against Egypt. And then if you come back a couple of pages further to chapter 14 and verse 24. Chapter 14, verse 24. We haven't read this, but this is in these passages that we're covering. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. That's speaking of the sovereignty of God. The doctrine, which just means teaching, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God that we find on every page of the scriptures. That the Lord God is ruler over all the nations, all the peoples, you and I. He causes nations to rise and fall. He determines the lengths and circumstances of our lives. He is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. There is no one over him. He is sovereign and in control. And as we see with Tyre, coming back to 23, verse 9, he will humble the proud. Now, there's no mention, if it's about wealth, you might think, oh, he'll bring low those who are wealthy. But he goes for pride. His judgment is on their pride. But we know that pride is connected to wealth, isn't it? How often we see people accumulate funds, financial means, and become proud. Not just those out there, but those within as well, people we know. And they begin to trust in themselves, to imagine they're in control. And then, of course, if they're in control, God is not in control. They are sovereign of their world. As I said, it's not just imaginary people out there. We know how easily we can be proud. You remember the parable that Jesus told, if you like flicking your Bibles, come to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This is the only other reference we're going to look at. And this is probably worth having a look at. It's page 1045. As we read this, have in mind what we've been learning about Tyre and the attitudes of their hearts and minds. Because this is speaking to about how the proud are humbled. He starts with a warning, just as we find in Isaiah 23. Let me start at verse 15. Jesus said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Remember the issue for those in Tyre? They stored up, they hoarded for themselves. Here's a quote I heard or read this week. "When the successful grow proud, they grow corrupt and self-sufficient." You might guess where that came from, a commentator on the FIFA scandal. How Blatter and the senior executives had grown proud. They had become the renowned, as we've been reading about in Tyre. No one could touch them. In their wealth, they bought out any obstacles, but now they've been brought low and humbled. We may look on and tut-tut and talk about their morals, but it's the waters we swim in, isn't it? Remember the words of Gordon Gekko in the movie Wall Street? The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed is good, greed is right, greed works. That's the culture we're in. It's the culture we're influenced by and shaped by. And it denies the reality of the Lord God. It denies his rightful rule over our lives. It denies his wrath at our rebellion against him that sets ourselves up against him. It ignores the fact that he is Lord, he is sovereign, and will bring low the pride of all glory and humble all who are renowned on the earth. It may not happen now, but it will happen one day, as it happened to Tyre. For all of us are destined to die, and after that, to face judgment. So a good question to ask ourselves, maybe, is how are we going in the pride stakes? Taking pride in, for example, our achievements, our GCSE results, or our A-level results, or the uni that we went to, or the job we've got. Or maybe it's pride in our family. Or pride that we're not like others. Or pride in the amount of money that we've got stored up. Or our financial status. Now, it's very difficult to do this self-assessment. We can spot pride in others all too easily. So you may need to find a good friend, someone who'll be honest and gentle. And specifically this month of June, as we focus on the Church Hall appeal and consider how we might contribute, we will have to wrestle with our pride. Forgiving of our riches is the best way to depend not on ourselves, but on God, who, as we've read, so richly provides everything for our enjoyment. So self-assessment, looking inwards at our hearts, and also praying. Praying that the Lord might reveal to us where we are proud. And pray that by the power of his Spirit, he might humble us. Well, let's turn finally to the last verses of this chapter in verses 15 to 18. Now, coming back to Isaiah 23, in other words, you'll have already noticed in this series in Isaiah, if you've been here the last few weeks, we're not having a detailed look at every verse, as we might if we were reading a gospel or an epistle. This is deliberate. We want to get the big idea of these chapters. And these verses 15 to 18 are not easy to understand. They're not to the preacher anyway. And let's have a look at them though. A promise about wealth, verses 15 to 18, a promise about wealth. These verses promise a restoration of Tyre, extraordinarily, after what's happened. He says in verse 17, at the end of 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire as a prostitute, will ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. So at some future date, he's saying, Tyre will return to her ways, and this will be the Lord's doing. Even though he doesn't expressly say so, we've heard that he causes the rising and the falling of nations. He brought destruction, and he will bring restoration. As someone this week in our growth group was asking, did these things historically happen? Was Tyre destroyed? Did it re-emerge? Well, this is where we just need to think what prophecy is doing. Sometimes it does speak historically of what will happen. As in the latter chapters of Isaiah, he prophesies the removal of Israel. It's taken off into exile in Babylon. That happened. But sometimes Isaiah is not speaking so much historically as eschatologically. That's a big word, eschatologically. It just means the end times. The last days when the Lord, our Lord Jesus, will return. And this is what seems to be happening here. If you look up in the history books, Tyre was attacked numerous times. Nebuchadnezzar, I read this week, around 580 BC. Alexander the Great in 332 BC pretty much destroyed it. But then we read later on that in 274, under Ptolemy, it was restored. So here Isaiah is prophesying Tyre will return to her old ways. He continues to use the language of prostitution, that selling of herself, that's the image, that Tyre will sell herself without a care for her morals. But there is a difference, isn't there? The wealth she previously hoarded and stored up for her own benefit will now be taken from her, and it will flow instead to the Lord's people. Isaiah doesn't comment if he approves of this. He doesn't rebuke Israel for being the recipient of what we might consider ill-gotten gains. So what's the point? Well, it's a promise about wealth, isn't it? Tyre will one day change her ways, no longer taking wealth for herself, but it being for the Lord. The scriptures regularly teach that all wealth is the gift of God. And here we read, it will eventually return to the giver. Even Tyre will be used for God's glory. And that's extraordinary, it's unexpected, and it's wonderful and helpful to us. So there's a warning, riches are uncertain. Let's be on guard against all kinds of greed, that natural tendency to hoard and store up for ourselves. And to remember that our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. And there is a promise, maybe pledge is a better word. King David puts it like this at the end of 1 Chronicles 29. He says this, "For all things come from you." There's the promise. That includes all the riches and the wealth we have. We think that's my money. But the Lord makes it very clear, it comes from him. All that we have comes from him. That's the promise. And let's pray we'll trust in his promise, his good and generous provision for us. And to finish David's quote printed on your outline there, in response to that goodness and grace towards us, to give. Of your own have we given you. And as we do that, he, our Lord Jesus, will get all the glory.